Conversations on Healthcare. I'm Mark Maselli.
And I'm Margaret Flinter.
Well, Margaret, the summer solstice has come and gone. We are officially entering the summer season.
It's a time for getaways and beach time. And of course, a reminder to everyone, use your sunscreen.
Absolutely. It's always a good time to remind folks about warnings from the Skin Cancer Foundation about their recommendations for sunscreen usage.
We have to remind people that 90% of all non-melanoma skin cancers are caused by exposure to the sun's UV rays. And it's also believed to be responsible for 65% of the most lethal form of skin cancer, melanoma.
So we just want to remind people of the protocols for applying sunscreen. It's recommended that you apply it liberally at least 1/2 hour before sun exposure, and it should also be reapplied every 2 hours spent in the sun.
Many commonly prescribed medications increase sensitivity to the sun. Certain classes of antibiotics and anti-inflammatories increase your chance of acquiring a sunburn. You can go to the Skin Cancer Foundation's website at skincancer.org.
The summer is just getting underway, but already eyes are on October. Margaret, when the first insurance exchange will be open for business in what officials are calling the biggest open enrollment season we've ever seen.
And such a tremendous amount of attention now being focused on the true implementation of the Affordable Care Act. We've got millions of previously uninsured Americans who will be seeking insurance coverage on the exchange, which will offer affordable health insurance alternatives for folks who've been priced out of the market in the past or unable to get individual coverage because of pre-existing conditions or other reasons.
As we draw closer to that time, we'll use our show to help inform folks about the many ways the aspects of the Affordable Care Act will benefit them and for those elements that are confusing to consumers. In fact, our guest today has been working for decades to bring affordable health insurance to all Americans.
Ron Pollack is the executive director of Families USA. He's also the chairman of the board of Enroll America, a nonprofit, nonpartisan collaborative of people seeking to assist Americans looking for information on how to access the exchange and find the right plan for them to enroll in.
Laurie Robertson stops by from factcheck.org.
And no matter what the topic, you can hear all of our shows by Googling CHC Radio.
And as always, if you have comments, email us at chcradio.com or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'd love to hear from you.
Now we'll get to our interview with Ron Pollack in just a moment.
But first, here's our producer, Marianne O'Hare, with this week's headline news.
I'm Marianne O'Hare with these healthcare headlines. The Department of Health and Human Services is revving up the campaign to inform Americans about the healthcare law, which goes into its next phase in 100 days or so. October 1st, Americans will be able to start signing up for insurance on the newly created online insurance marketplaces, either in a state-based program or one being set up by the federal government. So HHS has launched an information campaign, which includes a newly revamped healthcare website, healthcare.gov, which aims to offer answers to a variety of questions that the millions of new American customers might have. There's also an 800 number people can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When you dial that number, 800-318-2596, here's what you'll hear.
Welcome to the Health Insurance Marketplace. Para continuar en español, marque el dos ahora. Let's get started. What state do you live in? I need to know where you are looking for coverage to find the
insurance. You'll be guided through a series of steps that will bring you to a live person if you have questions about your eligibility or any questions about pricing or what's available to you. Meanwhile, the push is on to promote the Affordable Care Act specifically to the so-called invincibles, those young, healthy Americans who will be in the healthcare pool but won't drain on resources because they're relatively healthy. HHS has enlisted support of the NFL, the National Football League, and the NBA, the National Basketball Association, two professional sports franchises that cater quite a bit to young invincibles. Obesity. It's not your mama's run-of-the-mill social disease anymore. It's actually now a disease. The American Medical Association, voting at its recent annual gathering to designate obesity as a disease, citing the 1 in 3 obese adults in America and 1 in 5 obese children in this country, creating a huge strain on the healthcare system. The feeling is this will spur medical professionals to pay more attention to obesity when it walks into the examining room and try to help patients prevent obesity before it happens. I'm Marianne O'Hare with these healthcare headlines.
We're speaking today with Ron Pollack, chairman of the board of Enroll America, a collaborative nonpartisan organization whose mission is to maximize the number of uninsured Americans who enroll in health coverage made available by the Affordable Care Act. Mr. Pollack is the founding executive director of Family USA, a national organization for health consumers, focusing on health care coverage for the uninsured and underinsured. Mr. Pollack has been awarded various honors, including Modern Healthcare's one of the top 100 people in healthcare. Mr. Pollack has helped prepare Patients' Bill of Rights, which has been adopted by states around the country. Mr. Pollack, welcome to Conversations on Healthcare.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. Ron, we're at a pivotal juncture in the history of the U.S. healthcare system. I think we always are, actually, but this seems to be a fairly big one with the Affordable Care Act going into full effect January 1st, 2014, and millions of Americans are going to have the opportunity and will be required to have health insurance coverage of some kind. It also seems to be a time fraught with uncertainty as both the states and the federal government are engaged in setting up exchanges, these online marketplaces where consumers will be able to purchase insurance. Tell us about Enroll America and the role your organization hopes to play in getting Americans enrolled in health coverage.
All right. Well, let me distinguish between the two organizations you mentioned. Families USA, which is my day job. I'm executive director. That organization's been around for a little over 30 years. And we've been working hard to try to move the country closer to high-quality, affordable health coverage and care for everybody. And we were strong supporters of the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
Enroll America is an organization I started. I chair the board. And it has one purpose, and that is to maximize the number of people who will be eligible for new coverage and help that they actually get enrolled. And so we want to make sure that everybody who's a potential beneficiary of the Affordable Care Act learns about it and gets enrolled so that they get the coverage that they may not have been able to afford in the past but can get now.
Ron, we've talked many times on this show about the patchwork quilt of health reform across the country. But as we arrive at this moment, we have quite a bit of variety if we look around the different versions of the exchanges. So from where you sit at Enroll America as you launch this Get Covered America campaign, how are you adapting the enrollment efforts to fit these different models as well as just the obvious of different demographics, different regions? Tell us more about that.
Well, these states that have decided to run these exchanges, many of them, I think, are going to do a very good and aggressive job reaching people and to provide the best possible opportunities for the Affordable Care Act to be implemented in an effective way. Obviously, in the states that have decided not to do so, that job is now left to the Department of Health and Human Services. That's quite a challenge, but I believe that the department is moving forward in a helpful way. For example, the Department of Health and Human Services announcing a new website that will provide information for people, a helpline that will be available 24/7 in multiple languages. Obviously, when you look at the 49 million people who are uninsured, they're very diverse, and many people speak a primary language other than English. You know, one of the things that we found is that of folks who are uninsured, who are eligible for these new subsidies, more than 3 out of 4 people right now are unaware of it. For those who are eligible for the expansion of the Medicaid program, an even larger percentage don't know about it. So there's quite a challenge. That challenge is probably even greater in the states where the federal government is running the exchange because there are fewer resources on a per capita basis in those states.
You know, Ron, I want to pull the thread a little on this whole notion of the efforts that are going on to inform and enroll people in the new health insurance exchanges. And as you noted, the Department of Health and Human Services is launching a major media campaign and states are launching their own campaigns. So I guess I want to understand how these efforts relate to the work that Enroll America goes on. But is it simply knowledge or does there have to be some underlying message?
Based on the research we've seen, the fact that help is on the way, that people will get help in the form of subsidies, limitations in the out-of-pocket costs that they have to bear when they get care. That's a very important message because right now most people don't know about it, and many people who don't have health coverage today feel priced out of health coverage. Now, when they learn that help will be provided, that subsidies will be available, that makes a huge difference. One of the things we've learned from other experiences in new programs like Medicare Part D that provides prescription drug coverage, the Children's Health Insurance Program, the most effective communications actually are communications that occur from friend to friend, family member to family member, neighbor to neighbor. We've experienced over the past few years up through now a political conversation about the Affordable Care Act and a very contentious political conversation. Now we have to move from the political to the personal so that people can adequately understand how this will affect their lives. And as they learn this, they will pass that information to family members, to friends and neighbors. And that's going to be ultimately the most effective way to get through to people who right now are unaware of how the Affordable Care Act can help them.
Tell us, as a new organization with this very specific focus, who else are you working with nationally? Who are the large players on the ground that are stepping up and taking responsibility for making this happen?
A number of the organizations or groups you might expect that represent low-income people, women's organizations, groups that represent people with disabilities or health problems. But beyond that, there really is a diversity that includes organizations that don't necessarily have the exact same point of view about the Affordable Care Act. So insurers, hospitals, pharmaceutical companies, H&R Block, Catholic Charities, United Way. There are many dozens of organizations that are cooperating together. And among the organizations that you might consider strange bedfellows, organizations that had somewhat different views, at least about aspects of the Affordable Care Act, they know that they can do well by doing good. Obviously, insurers can have more people buying their product. Hospitals will be able to provide care to people without having to eat the cost because people are uninsured and can't afford to pay for their care. But there is a commonality about getting people enrolled.
We're speaking today with Ron Pollack, chairman of the board of Enroll America, a collaborative, nonpartisan organization whose mission is to maximize the number of uninsured Americans who enroll in health coverage made available by the Affordable Care Act. Ron, lots of the population who might be eligible have different cultural and linguistic backgrounds. I didn't hear any of the larger Hispanic or other groups mentioned in that. So what's the collaboration coordination going on with other folks? How is that effort going on now?
Well, among the organizations that are partners in this effort are groups like the National Council of La Raza, the National Hispanic Medical Association. And so there is going to be deep collaboration with groups that reach well into the Hispanic population. Remember that of all the ethnic or racial groups, Hispanics are more likely to be uninsured than any other group. And so it's absolutely essential that effective outreach takes place in those communities. And you're going to see a lot of advertising done in places like Univision. Mm-hmm. So there is going to be a special emphasis given to reaching Hispanic populations who disproportionately are uninsured.
Well, Ron, we still hear a lot from consumers and small business owners about what they perceive as a lack of what we call actionable information. They can't really sign up until October 1, and yet they really want answers to these questions. What are those essential benefits? Will I qualify for a tax rebate, or is it a premium subsidy? How are you getting that information? How are people answering those very challenging questions for people who've never thought in terms of things like premium subsidy and tax rebates relative to health insurance? As you say, an awful lot of people have never had the experience of being enrolled in insurance that are now going to be eligible.
Well, the most important source is actually going to be the Department of Health and Human Services, which reconstituted their website, healthcare.gov. And we'll be announcing a 24/7 helpline where people can get their questions answered. And they can get their questions answered in multiple languages. People can sign up now for a whole bunch of ongoing emails and other information resources that will be provided between now and October 1. And the purpose of this is to enable people to get ready for the start of the enrollment period on October 1. So I think this is going to be very helpful. Now, organizations like Enroll America and Families USA will provide ongoing information through our websites, but the main source is going to be healthcare.gov and this new helpline.
Ron, I want to talk a little bit about the politics of this, too, because you indicated that we've moved sort of from the politics to the personal in the sales pitch. But it's fair to say that both in Washington, you know, mainly in the Republican Party side, they've said they plan on making no fixes to some of the shortcomings that I think everyone realizes that exist in some of the plans that might make it easier on lots of people in terms of those who want to enroll. To what extent are you worried about that? We still don't seem to be getting traction in terms of this is the law of the land. So what keeps you up in the night when you think about the opposition? We've had lots of people on who've been very supportive of the plan who still would love to take another crack at some redrafting of the legislation. Is that pretty much dead in the water?
I don't lose sleep over the politics of the Affordable Care Act. It is the law of the land. It's not going to change in a way that a number of Republicans would like to see happen. We've had 37 different votes to repeal the Affordable Care Act. They've been futile votes. With respect to improvements in the Affordable Care Act, I don't think anyone would ever argue that it's a perfect piece of legislation. No legislation is perfect, but it creates a foundation, and we will build from that. Now, I don't believe that in the next 2 years that we're going to get significant changes in the legislation. Republicans in the House have said that they're not going to try to change the Affordable Care Act other than try to repeal it. In the long run, it is going to change. And there will be improvements made. And as soon as millions of people get enrolled in coverage and it's clear that the Affordable Care Act is here to stay, then I think we will begin a clearer focus on how can we make it work better for people across the country. You know, can you name a piece of legislation that you savor, that you think was really terrific? And often people say, well, the Social Security Act of 1935, that was terrific. Well, at the time the Social Security Act of 1935 passed, it didn't cover over half the women in the workforce. Mm-hmm. It didn't cover over two-thirds of the people of color in the workforce. We fixed those things mm-hmm. over time, and I think the same thing is going to happen with the Affordable Care Act. I think we'll move on to the agenda of improving it further.
Well, Ron, consistent with that, Enroll America has a Best Practices Institute, I understand, which features all kinds of useful information for stakeholders. But one area caught my eye that we haven't talked about yet as we've focused on the websites and the helplines, and that's the importance of the in-person assisters or assistants. This is a person on the ground in the neighborhood helper to work with people. And you've spent a lot of your time and your career focusing on assisting the underinsured and the uninsured. So tell us about this personal or in-person assistance. Why is this significant and essential to getting this population enrolled?
Well, this is really very important. Remember, for the people who are going to benefit the most from the Affordable Care Act, they've not had significant or good experiences with the insurance system. They probably wanted insurance, but they couldn't afford it. They felt they couldn't read the fine print, which to them was like hieroglyphics. And so there needs to be some way that people get help as they think about getting enrolled. And remember, of the people who are uninsured, their education level is somewhat lower than the population as a whole. Many people speak a language other than English as their primary language. So when they fill out the application form, they will want help. And so there are numerous kinds of folks who are going to be providing this help. There are these assisters, there are these navigators, there are outreach workers in community health centers. They're going to be volunteers, and if they do their work well, it's going to make it much easier for the millions of people who want help to get that help. Families USA is creating a support center for the different folks who are going to be providing this assistance. We want to make sure they are as proficient as possible. We want to make sure that they can talk to one another so they can share their experiences So Families USA is going to be playing this role of connecting these on-the-ground helpers with one another and providing them with the training and technical assistance they need so they can do their jobs well.
We've been speaking today with Ron Pollock, chairman of the board of Enroll America, a collaborative nonpartisan organization whose mission is to maximize the number of uninsured Americans who enroll in health coverage under the Affordable Care Act. If you have any questions or would like to know more about the work they're doing, go to enrollamerica.org. Ron, thanks so much for joining us on Conversations on Healthcare today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was a pleasure to be with you.
At Conversations on Healthcare, we want our audience to be truly in the know when it comes to the facts about healthcare reform and policy. Lori Robertson is an award-winning journalist and managing editor of FactCheck.org, a nonpartisan, nonprofit consumer advocate for voters that aim to reduce the level of deception in U.S. politics. Lori, what have you got for us this week?
Mark and Margaret, we're getting closer and closer to October 1st when the insurance exchanges will be open for business and the Medicaid expansion begins in January. How will these major elements of the healthcare law affect insurance coverage for Americans? Well, let's take a look at the estimates from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. In 2013, most Americans got their insurance through their employer, and that's not going to change under the law. 156 million Americans had work-based coverage without any impact from the healthcare law. And the law will have a small effect. 7 million fewer Americans will have work-based coverage in 2023 than would have had it without the law. Also in 2013, prior to the law, 35 million Americans got their insurance through Medicaid or the Children's Health Insurance Program. By 2023, 13 million more Americans will have such coverage because of the law. The other big increase in insurance coverage is through the exchanges, where individuals and small businesses will buy coverage. 24 million people are expected to have private insurance through the exchanges in 2023. Other Americans will still have non-group coverage through other means, but 5 million fewer will do so because of the law. What does all this mean for the number of the uninsured? That number will decrease dramatically. The uninsured numbered 57 million in 2013 without the law. But a decade from now, there will be about 25 million fewer uninsured Americans because of the law. And that's my fact check for this week. I'm Lori Robertson, managing editor of FactCheck.org.
FactCheck.org is committed to factual accuracy from the country's major political players and is a project of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. If you have a fact that you'd like checked, email us at chcradio.com. We'll have FactCheck.org's Lori Robertson check it out for you here on Conversations on Healthcare. Each week, Conversations highlights a bright idea about how to make wellness a part of our communities and everyday lives. Around the world, 2 million children die of pneumonia every year, and most of these deaths are preventable. The problem is that most of these children live in developing nations where access to medical care is a real challenge. A team of students and researchers at the University of Melbourne decided there had to be a simple solution for early detection of pneumonia that could be put right into the hands of children's parents or community health workers, not only in remote settings, but ultimately anywhere in the world. Their solution? The StethoCloud, a peripheral and app for smartphones that puts a stethoscope-like diagnostic tool in the hands of ordinary people. The student team was moved to develop the product, inspired by a professor who explained that most children who die of pneumonia could have been saved had there been a timely diagnosis when treatment could be started.
I think the key step is that people are not worried enough at the start. So let's say you're in a developing country, you're not worried enough, and the clinic may be 30 kilometers away, a whole day's trek or something. And you usually don't take the journey until your child's very sick, and by that stage, it's almost too late.
Dr. Andrew Lin, he and his team of developers created this diagnostic app to process information gathered from a stethomic, a digital stethoscope that plugs directly into an iPhone. The device is used to detect breathing patterns just as a clinician with a stethoscope would do. The StethoCloud app then runs lung capacity readings through a series of algorithms, sends the information into the cloud for analysis, and almost instantaneously, a diagnosis can be made. The students won the Australian final of Microsoft's Imagine Cup 2012. They're testing and refining the device with the help of the University Children's Hospital and hope for a rollout of the product later this year. Using ingenuity, technology, collective imagination to create the StethoCloud, a simple device that has the potential to save millions of children's lives, Now that's a bright idea. This is Conversations on Healthcare. I'm Margaret Flinter.
And I'm Mark Maselli. Peace and health.
Conversations on Healthcare, broadcast from the campus of WESU at Wesleyan University, streaming live at wesufm.org and brought to you by the Community Health Center.